Owens. I want you to take your Bibles with me tonight. Look with me, if you will. We're going to look into the book of the Psalms. We're going to look into the Psalms. I know we've, it seems like we go there quite a bit, but we'll delve into Psalm number 39, if you'll look there with me, please. Psalm number 39, and we'll just glean maybe a little bit of the goodness of what the writer has to say. And really, for some, most of us, I guess, as we look at this, it's kind of a tougher psalm, Psalm number 39. And the Bible tells us it is a psalm of David. It is a psalm of David. And David is, you know, giving us this this psalm, this information. And we want to see what is going on in David's life. Listen to what he said. If you don't read the entire psalm, it was just 13 verses. And it starts out in verse number 1, and David writes and says, and if you look at the heading, it says, to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke from me. I'm consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct a man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Every man, surely every man is vanity. Selah. He said, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry, but hold not thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you for the blessings and goodness of the day. And thank you for your strength and your direction, your giving to us as you have. I pray now, just bless us now as we look in the Word of God. Give us some strength and instruction and some understanding tonight. And we'll just thank you again for everything that you do for us. I pray if there's somebody here and they need to be drawn closer to you, would you do that now? Would you just draw them? Let them be more like you. And maybe if they need to be saved, draw them to that place. Lord, we'll just give you praise and thanks for everything you do tonight. We love you. We lift you up. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach to you, and I guess maybe the thought of all of this, particularly the best thought of this whole psalm, is verse number 7 there at the very end, where David says, my hope is in thee. And that's what I want you to think with me tonight about, as David says, my hope is in thee. I mean, that's the only hope me and you got tonight, folks. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of folks, oh, they're hoping that the economy does better. They're hoping the political scene gets better. They're hoping the world issues get cleared up. Can I tell you, don't hope in that. But you and I need to be like David was here as he writes this psalm and say, my hope is in thee. Amen? Because that's the only hope you got. And here's David. He is saying, look, in this thought, Lord, I need to have the right kind of vision. I need to see things a little differently than I do many times. And I think, again, this is me and you. We see things sometimes and we see them maybe a certain way and we need to see them another way. So let's look at this psalm, if you will, and let's just say that we many times do the same thing that the psalmist here does. Let's look and see what he says and what he's thinking as he goes through this process. First of all, I want you to look at this, and I think you can see David saying this in the beginning. As you begin reading this entire psalm, it's kind of funny to me that David says, this is to the chief musician. And he names the musician, Jeduthun. He names him and said, this is your song. I want to tell y'all something. I don't know if I like this to be my song or not. I mean, just listening to it and some of the things that he says, I mean, it's pretty much a downer sometimes. Amen? I mean, it'd be like, hey, I got you a song, and it's called I'm Getting Beat Up by This World All the Way Around. Hallelujah. Ain't that a good song for me and you? I don't think we'd like it. But you got to know that somewhere in there's a turn and a tag that makes a contrast. And I believe that's what you'll see when you look at this and see what David says. But I want you to understand, as you begin to read this and think about it, something is going on in the life of David. And really, we'll see a lot of other psalms, and those psalms will point to a particular battle or a particular issue or maybe a run-in with a particular person. This one doesn't tell us anything about any of that. David just says, I've written this, and it's a song, and I want you to give it to Jeduthun. I mean, I want him to sing this thing with the choir on Sunday. Amen? And let's listen to the way that David comes across in this. I think if you'll look with me in the very first little bit of this, we'll say this, that I think David can say this, or that he does say this, I think I'll stay silent. I think I'll stay silent. Do you know, me and you get there a lot of times in our life when things are going on, and maybe things are coming against us, and things are attacking us, and things are happening in our life. You know what we do sometimes? And I mean, I know, you do, I do. We'll say, well, I'm just going to keep quiet about this. I'm not going to say anything. I'll just, you know, we'll just go through this and see how it works out. Listen to what David said. He says, I said, this is what he said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. Boy, how many times have we been there where we said, oh, I'll just have to bite my tongue because if I say something, it'll be the wrong thing. He said, I'll keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. There are people here before me, and if I say something, they ain't going to like it. It ain't going to be good, and it sure ain't going to be pretty. He said, I was dumb with silence, and I held my peace, even from good. I didn't even say a good thing. I just said, zip it, you know. Don't say anything. And my sorrow was stirred. Don't you notice David said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. First of all, I'm going to hold up. I think I'm just going to hold up from saying anything. And again, you've been there. Everybody in this room, you've been there. Something's going on. Maybe there's a confrontation. Maybe there's a problem. And you say, I just ain't going to say nothing. I'm just going to zip it. I'm not going to get involved in this. I'm just going to try to bide my time, see how it works out. And David says there in verse number one, I said, I'm not going to sin with my tongue. Because again, if I do start saying something, it ain't going to be good. So here's what David said. I'm just going to hold my peace at this point. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to hold up. But then I want you to notice this. I think he also says this in verse number two. He says, I was dumb with silence. I'm just going to hold on to this situation and see how it all works out. I'm not saying. What do you think about it? I'm just not saying anything. I'm not going to say nothing. I mean, that's the way that it appears that David is at this point. But you know what? You get to the point where it's like this. He said, I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. You know what he said? I can't hold it anymore. Something's got to give, and something's got to come out, and something's going to burst through from what I'm feeling on the inside of me. And I want to tell you something. You know, a lot of times we think, well, it'd probably just be better if we just be quiet, if we just don't say, if we just, and you know, we thought that, just keep the peace, don't rock the boat, don't. No, brother, sometimes you better speak up, and speak up what is true, what is right, and what is godly and honest and honorable. You need to speak up sometimes. There are times like that. David said, here it is. I'm in this situation. We don't know what the situation is. But he said, man, Dave, sometimes I just got to speak up. There are sometimes. And David said, here in the beginning, I think I'll just stay quiet. But look at point number two. And he says this, as we look on down through verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. He says, my heart was hot within me. Something begins to stir. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Second of all, he says, first, I think I'll just stay silent. Second of all, he says, I think I better go ahead and speak up. I think I better go ahead and open my mouth. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes my father-in-law used to say that. He said, you got your mouth in gear before your brain got locked into motion. Amen? You ever had that problem before? Some people just open their mouth and stuff flies out, and they hadn't really thought it through, and they hadn't thought about it. They just give a real reactive comment or a real reactive way about them when they come out, and they just start blah, 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 you know, just bust. But David said, I sat there. And as I sat and I thought and I prayed, he said something was stirring there on the inside of me. There was a heat, there was a fervency, there was something going on. He said my heart was hot within me while I was musing, and that fire began to burn. And then I couldn't hold it back anymore. I think that I've just got to speak up. I want you to notice what this is really. David makes his own profession and confession of what's going on the inside. And he said, I can't hold this back anymore. I think I better just go ahead. All of that inner turmoil, all of that inner stir, all of those things going on the inside of him, they're about to burst forth and come flying out. Amen? So look at it with me, if you will. Notice what he says there. He says in verse number 3, he said, I want you to understand there was a fire that was lit. There was a fire that was lit. I mean, sometimes I said it's just got to come out, but he wants it, when it comes out, we want it to come out and to be glory to God. I mean, when we get ready to speak, we want to be sure we're saying the right thing. It may be hot, and it may be tempered in some fieriness. It may have some, but I'm telling you, when you get ready to speak, you want to be sure that you're giving God the credit and the glory and the praise that you ought to. You see what he says? He says, all of this is going on. And while I was musing, this fire burned. And then I spake with my tongue. And he's about to say something. These words that you see beyond this are the things that he said. He said, I'm thinking about this. And as I do, he said, look, I want to give glory to God in what I'm about to say. I want to give a good testimony for the Lord. But I sure don't want to give any ammo to the enemy, right? I don't want to give the enemy any ammunition that will hurt me, that will damage my testimony, that will give anything negative about me and the Lord. And Lord, I sure don't want to mess this up, but I've been thinking about it. And I've got to say something about what is going on. Well, what does he say? Won't you notice what he says there in verse number 4? He said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. David said, I've been sitting here thinking about what's attacking me, and I've kept quiet about it. But now that I've got to speak, I want everybody to hear what I'm about to say. Don't you notice what part of his confession is that he brings now? It's not just he has that fire that's lit on the inside of him, but don't you notice that he tells about the frailty that he has learned. David has learned how frail he as a person is. Have you learned that about your life? how frail that you are. They listened to him. Lord, he said, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. I want you, Lord, to let me see just what a short trip that life is that I have here. I want you to show me. I want to tell you something. Every day that clicks off that calendar, you'll begin to understand it more and more and more. You can be in your 20s or 30s or 40s, and you think, I can whoop anything and everybody that moves. And then all of a sudden, them 50s and them 60s and them 70s and whatever beyond that come on. And you know what? You're saying, boy, I hope nothing does move because I just don't know if I can whoop it or not. Amen? I just don't know how this thing is going to go anymore. You begin to understand how frail you are. And I'll tell you, that's going to come with age. It's going to come with the wisdom that we have. And David said, I've gotten to the point. I've got enemies. I've got people against me. I got things going on. I got problems. But I also understand how frail that my life really is. This is just a short trip that we're on down here, folks. Then he said, oh, Lord, I want you to help me to see how my life here will soon be gone. And I need to understand the frailty of everything that's happening around me. And listen, I'm in trouble. Amen. That's what he's saying in so many words. Help me to see that, well, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Amen. I mean, it just life just ain't what it used to be. Listen to what he says in verse 6. Surely every man that walketh, every man walketh in a vain show. He said, verse number 5. He said, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. He said, see that right there? That's about how long my life is. About the breadth of my hand, that's it. He said, and mine age is as nothing before thee. He said, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. You see the frailty of your life? But don't you understand this, that David says in verses 5 and 6, he talks about the futility that we have in this life. You're encountering some futility. Hey, any of y'all think you can make your life any longer? Oh, preacher, I eat good and I exercise. Let me tell you something. It might not help. It might not work. It might not. Oh, well, I'm planning on living up. Yeah, you might plan on it, but you don't know when your life is going to end. You do not know. James says in James chapter number 1 that he said, what is your life? He said, it's like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. You have no idea how long you're going to be around. But do you see what David is saying here about the futility in this life? He said, look what he says about your best state. He said that your days are like a handbreadth. Your age is just nothing before God. Hey, I live to be 100, somebody would say. And God said, guess what? I've been around for all time. It don't measure even a little bit on my scale. He said, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Boy, that ought to slap us in the face, oughtn't it? Do you see that your best state is vanity? The very best that you got, the very best that you understand, the very best that you can do, it is vanity. There's nothing to it. I mean, it's just vain. The word vain gives us to understand the thought of something being empty. Nothing to it. Again, like a vapor of smoke. It's here and poof, it's gone. That's the way. And your very best. You ever see these folks strut around? I mean, man, I've seen them. Some of these star athletes and some of these great people in entertainment and all this stuff. Can I tell you something? Hey, look back on you. Look back on your last stuff here over the last week or two. Do you know that some of them old folks that, listen, I mean, me and Lynn were talking about this the other day. I ain't no rocker and I ain't no, but y'all remember Kiss? Y'all remember them? If you're old enough, the musical group Kiss? One of them dudes died last week. Amen? Well, preacher, I remember when. Yeah, you might remember when. Guess what? He's dead. Amen. He died in October of 2025. I believe they said he was 74 years old. Guess what? I don't care what he used to be. I don't care how much he strutted. I don't care how well he played. I don't care how good he looked in little old cut-down suits and all that shaking and rolling and all that makeup and all that mess on. Hey, he's still dead today. Amen. You know what that means? Everybody in this room is going to suffer that same fate. And his life, oh, he's a rock and roll star. Guess what? He's still dead today. What I'm trying to get you to see is, it don't matter what it used to be. It don't matter how it was. It don't, David said, God, show me how frail and futile my life really is. My best state, the best thing I got is all as vanity before God. The very best thing you got is all as vanity. Your best state. But look in the next verse and notice what he said. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. You got that? Your behavior, the way that you walk and present before this world, it's all just in vanity. Amen? The strut you do, the stuff. Y'all remember Hulk Hogan? Oh, I remember the Hulkster. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all right. It's all right. We know. Wrestling preacher. It's okay. Amen. We was at a funeral the other day and they was talking about this guy's life, and they said, and he loved real wrestling. And I said, hallelujah, amen. I mean, drop an atomic elbow right there. I'm just telling you, hey, that stuff. I mean, y'all remember that. A Hulk commander, he'd tear his shirt off, and he'd ride, brother, ride, you know, do all that stupid stuff. Guess what? He died. Amen. I mean, I look at him and I think, son, he got a muscle on top of a muscle. I mean, he's all hulked up and bumped up and pumped up and all that stuff. Guess what? He still died. He probably died as a good physical specimen. But can I tell you, every bit of that is vanity. Every day he strutted out on that stage, every little finger point, every little contention that he made, hey, it's all a bunch of show, and the best we got, it's vanity. The best thing you got, and it's all vanity. I don't care, again, how smart you are. I mean, you can be, y'all remember the guy Stephen Hawking? Stephen Hawking was, you know, supposed to be one of the most intellectual fellows in our time and day in science and mathematics and all that stuff. Guess what? He died. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in all that God. Hey, I want to tell you something. When he closed his eyes and gave the last breath, he found out how real God was and how his very life was vanity. I mean, you can strut, you can point your finger and say, I don't believe in God. And there's a God, strike me down and all that stuff. Let me tell you, all that's just a bunch of vain show. Walk through this life and strut and show and act and claim and even take and get all you can and all that. But, buddy, in the end, it's all vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. I'm just telling you, hey, your behavior, the best that we can do, your best states is vain. Your behavior shows your vanity. And look at this. He says, and surely, verse 6 in the last part, surely they are disquieted in vain. Listen, he heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. You know what I told you? You've heard it before, not just from me, but other preachers. Can I tell you one day, you're going to pass away, and you know what? All of your precious stuff will become a yard sale. Oh, preacher, there's my bass boat. Well, we'll take $500 for it. Well, it's worth more than that. Well, it's a bunch of junk now. You see, when it's yours, it's stuff, but when it gets out of your, it's junk. You know, somebody else looks at your stuff and they say, well, you know, I might give you $5 for it. Can I tell you, it don't matter. Man, we went through, when my mom died, we went through her closet. She had clothes that still had tags on it. She had stuff. I mean, man, that's just, you know what we did? Took it down to the Goodwill and gave it to them. And there was some of that stuff. I mean, she treasured it. She prized. Oh, this was her prize possession. And guess what? It's somebody else's junk now. Amen? I'm just telling you. People pile up the riches. People pile up their stuff. Oh, I got my stuff. You know what that old guy said that in the Bible Jesus talked about? He said he's like the rich guy that he said his ground brought forth abundantly and he stored it in his farm. And he said, my barns are full. What am I going to do? I'll tear them down. I'll build some bigger ones. I've got a lot of stuff. And he said, thou fool. God said, thou fool. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be? Who's going to get your stuff? And brother, I want to tell you something. It ain't as much. Hey, well, you're not going to heaven. And God said, well, how much stuff do you have? He's not going to worry about that. He's not going to ask you about that. It won't even be brought up when you get before God. David said, man, I've had to learn a lot about my life and the futility and the frailty that there is in my life. I want you to get down there to verse number 7. And let's see where David really wakes up. I think he says this. I think I'd be better off if I'd trust the Lord. Listen to what he says in verse number 7. And now, Lord, he said, I've talked about all this, all the frailty, all the futility, all the vanity, all of that. He said, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. David said, what in the world have I been looking at all of my life? What have I been looking at all of this stuff for? What have I been thinking about me and who I am and what I've done and where I've been and all of those things I've accomplished? He said, what in the world am I waiting for? What am I ain't got sense to understand what I really should be looking at in my life. He said, I'll tell you, my hope, the only hope that I got in this world is in the Lord. He said, do you realize this is where everybody's hope should be? And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. I'm not going to lay back and trust my riches. I'm not going to lay back and trust my position. I'm not going to lay back and lean on the good things that I've had in my life and who I was and what I was named. What in the world am I waiting on? I've got my hope in you. Amen? And that's the only place you can put your hope is in him. Listen, what he says here in these verses, in verses 8 and 9, he says, deliver me from all my transgressions, make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. He said, here I was, and I can see, hey, really more than anything, David sees here the lift that he needs. I mean, he says, my hope is in you. There is nothing else. I don't have any hope in anything in this world. And listen, when I think about me and all that I had and all that I was, he said, that's nothing. He said, but man, he said, I want you to deliver me from my transgression. Don't let me be the reproach of the foolish. I'm just dumb in everything that I did. Lift me up out of this place of my ignorance and help me see that all of my hope is only in you. Something that lifted him up. He began to realize and said, man, what a foolish, foolish, foolish person I was in thinking all of those things had any merit or had any hope or had any use in my life. He said, man, that was kind of dumb, but I want to tell you, when I thought about my Lord, when I thought about what he's done for me, when I thought about all the stuff that I got in him, he said, thank God that lifted me up out of my doldrums, out of my prideful place, out of my ignorance. I got lifted up by him. Amen? He said, now, deliver me from all those transgressions, those sins, those wrongs, those things where I was thinking wrong. And don't let me be a reproach. Don't let people talk about me and say, do you see that dummy over there and what he's doing, what he's thinking? He said, please don't let me be their reproach. Don't let me be an example for that. He said, there's a lift that I get when I look to you. But look down in verses number 10 and 11. He said, remove thy stroke away from me. I'm consumed by the blow of thine hand. And when thou with rebukes dost correct a man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. I want you to notice this. He loses, or he understands and he sees his losses from the lessons that he's learned. He said, I've learned some things. I've learned the lesson that this life has. What kind of lessons did David learn? Listen to what he said. Remove thy stroke from me. I'm consumed by the blow of thy hand. Do you know that sometimes we learn some lessons from the blows that come into our lives? And David said these are the blows of God's hand. God allowed some things. God showed some things. God did some things in David's life. And it was like a physical blow to him. And he said, and guess what? I learned a few lessons from that. You learned any of those lessons in your life? When God comes through and just, it seemed like he strikes you, he hits you, he comes into your life and some things happen. You know what he's trying to do sometimes? He's trying to teach you some lessons. And sometimes you and I just need to learn those lessons. He said, remove that stroke away from me. I'm consumed by the blow of thy hand. I give up, God. You've done this and it has caused some issue in my life, and I give up. But also he learns a lesson of the beauty that he loses. When a man with rebukes does when thou with rebuke dost correct a man for iniquity, he said, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. David said, I learned that I wasn't as pretty as I thought it was. Amen. Have you learned that? Well, I'm looking pretty good. Wow, let me strut out here in front of everybody and everything. Look at me. You know what? He said, God takes that beauty away, and you need to learn a lesson about the loss of your beauty. When God pulls that beauty out of your life, I mean, it's just you don't have it anymore. You're not there anymore. I'll tell you, for one thing, it's that physical stuff. I've seen some of these folks, man, when we was younger, and these teenage boys would throw them posters on the wall, and now you know what? All them women's got to be old women. And they don't, please tell them, don't put on that bathing suit again. I don't want to see that. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah. I mean, look. It ain't pretty physically. But you know what? A lot of it is just in life. Things are not pretty anymore. Your ways and your doings and all of these things and all that little cuteness you had, brother, it's all turned to ugliness. And David said, look, when you rebuke somebody and you correct them for their iniquity, you make their beauty, whatever they were, whatever they had, whatever they claimed to be, whatever the talk was about, it's all gone away, and it's faded into the background, and it's gone. David said, I've learned some of these lessons. I've had some losses in the lessons that I've learned, but listen, he finally sees in those last two verses, he tells us that he sees that there's some things that only the Lord can do. Listen to what he says. Hear my prayer, O God, or O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I'm a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. David's looking at this thing. He said, God, before I go, I need for you to show me, let me see some things that only I can see. And as a matter of fact, these last two verses, he says, hear my prayer. These last two verses are a prayer unto God. He says in this prayer, he says, first of all, just help me to give me your peace. I need some peace that only you can give me. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. I may be tore up. I may be in a mess. I may be in a pile in a heap. But please, Lord, I need your peace in my life. Can I tell you, every one of us in this room, we could cry that prayer. We could pray that. We could say, God, I know I'm a mess. I've made a mess, and I'm in a mess. But you know what? I still need your peace. I don't need $1 million. I don't need a college degree. I don't need a better job. I don't need a bigger house. I need the peace of God. Amen? Can I tell you, sometimes that's the only thing that people are looking for. I'll tell you right now, there's folks out there in Hollywood that's got everything man could want, the biggest house, the most money, fame, name, and all of that stuff. But you know what they'd give their very bottom dollar for? Just a little peace in their lives. Amen? And you see it every day. You see people like Michael Jackson, and he was hunting something that would give him some rest, something to give him some ease, something to give him some peace. But you know what he wound up with? Death. Amen? He wound up dying. And he just couldn't find that place where he could find a little rest and peace in his life. But aren't you glad that you know the author and the source of all of the greatest peace for your life? Amen? Give me your peace. And not only that, David says, look, God, give me some of my, what I ought to have is a partnership with you. Look what he says. For he says, hold not thy peace at my tears, for I'm a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. He says, sometimes I feel like I'm just away from you and I want to be back and be part of you. I want you in my life, God. I need your partnership with me. Woo, can I tell you, that's the biggest blessing you'll ever have in your life. It's when you realize that you're walking with him and he's walking with you and the two of you can go. As I said this morning, the 23rd Psalm, he said, even in the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I'll fear no evil. I don't have any problem. Just as long as I know I've got you with me. Amen. It's not that you're driving a new Mercedes. It's not that you've got every wish and every whim and everything in your life satisfied. Thank God. It's that you know you got that peace and that you know you got a partnership with him. He's walking hand in hand with you. And thank God he'll go with you all the way, even until the end of the world. Amen. Glad to report to you that'll bring you the best comfort than anything else in this world. He said, just give me your peace. Give me some part with you. And listen to what he says in that very last verse. He said, oh, spare me that I may recover strength. The thought of that little phrase there, oh, spare me, is, Lord, please just give me your pardon. Will you just not, it's almost like David feels like God's staring at him and seeing every wrong that he has in his life. And he's like, God, would you just spare me? Don't look so hard. Don't look so intently. Don't look so judgmentally at me, because I know what I am. I know who I am. I know what I've done, and I need to recover my strength. Would you please help me to recover? But listen to what he says. Before I go hence and I be no more, I know I'm coming to the end of my days. I know my time is not long. David is saying, and again, we don't know when he wrote this, but at some point in his life, he felt like he's going down the last stretch of the mile of his life. And he said, God, would you just spare me? Would you just help me? Would you just be here? I need that peace. I need that partnership. I need your pardon of some things in my life, and I'm begging you, please help me before I go the way of all men, before I leave this world, please just help me a little bit. Amen? David has said, I realize that my hope is in thee. I mean, he ain't got nowhere else to go. Could you imagine that? I really feel like at the time that David is writing this, I feel like he's the king of the land of Israel. I feel like he's the king. But can I tell you, isn't that wild? I'm a king, but I don't have any peace. I'm a king, and I feel like I'm a sojourner and a stranger from God. I'm a king, and I still need the pardon that only a king in that day, you know, just like it is in our day, can give a pardon to anybody. David couldn't pardon himself. He needed God's pardon. Oh, the king can settle peace in a land. But David said, I can't bring peace into my own heart and into my own soul. I need you. And a king can forge partnerships with anybody throughout his realm or throughout the neighboring nations. And David said, but I need a partnership with God and with God alone. I need that in my life. Because you see, all of my hope, any hope that I have, the only hope that I have is in thee. And can I tell you, if you're here tonight and you've got that same thing, there's some battles, there's some struggles, and you say, well, preacher, my bank account's doing fine, but why do I feel so badly? Oh, I've got a good job and I'm getting a promotion, but why do I just feel like there's something missing? Can I tell you, you don't have your hope in Him. You need to have the very essence of your soul and your very depth of being put into hope and trust in the Lord Jesus. Oh, you may think, boy, I've got it made. I got everything. Got it all in this world. But son, can I tell you something? You need to put your hope still in Him. You got your hope in Him tonight? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready. Sing a verse of some song this evening. My hope. David said, I'm going to tell y'all something. Struggled, fought battles, and thought I'd keep quiet about it, and then I busted forth with it, and I've told all my problems and my troubles and all of my issues and all of that, and I've been everything, and I've seen all this wreck of my life. But you know what? He said, I've just come to realize, what am I waiting for in life? What am I looking for in life? All of my hope, everything I got is centered in thee. Amen. Let's stand tonight if you will. What are we going to sing?
Page 390.
Page 390.